Okay, so we're not going to be studying all the malachot in depth. We just don't have time this year. We're going to be doing some in depth, but we figure that before we actually get into some of those that we're going to do more thoroughly, it's worth introducing the first series of malachot, and that's the series known as Sidura Depat. And the malachot that are related to the making of bread. So those are the first 10 malachos I listed here. I just give you a list. It's Zareya, which is sowing and planting, Choresh, which is plowing, Kotzer, which is reaping, Mamer, which is gathering, Dash, which is threshing, Zera, winnowing, Borer, sorting, Tochen, grinding, Marakate, sifting, and Ofes, Lash Mavashal, cooking and baking, which I took from source Aleph over here. So the way I've organized the sources today is a bit different because I want to move quickly, is that it's an outline. So all of the makaros are embedded in the outline, so that if I have to skip something, you'll at least, right, you'll know I'm not planning on reading everything inside, but I've given it to you in an outline so you can follow it. So I gave you that to the Mishnah, which lists all these malachot. So the first question, just as a background, and this is just reviewing something that Adam mentioned last week, is what does it mean that there is a sidura dipas, that there is a series of malachot that are related to the baking of bread? This seems to be problematic because the simplest understanding of the Bavli is that the source of the malachot are from the building of the Mishkan, not the process, not the avodot in the Mishkan, and therefore the malachot don't actually have to do with the baking of bread. They have to do with the cooking of the spice of the dyes, and that's what the Gemara says in number one. Halashva ofe amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said shavak tani dan bishal samaman naven mishkan nokat ofe. Right? Why did the Mishnah decide to talk about Sidura Depas, right, talk about this baking, if what's really going on, the real malacha this is all based on, the real process in the Mishkan from which we derived all this, is the cooking of the dyes. So the Gemara says, you're right, but Tana did not Sidura Depas Nakat, or Tana mentioned Sidura Depas. Now, there are two ways of understanding what it's saying. So one is the way Rashi takes it, and as we saw, Rashi follows this notion that malachot are only derived from the building of the Mishkan and not the avodot in the Mishkan. And therefore, Rashi takes this Gemara as saying that, yeah, in fact, the malachot are derived from the cooking of the spices. Why do we organize it as if we're talking about the baking of bread as a mnemonic? Because it's easier to remember if you organize it that way, right? There are 39 malachot. If you want an easy way of trying to remember the units, so it's easy to say it, to tell somebody, especially someone who actually lives in agricultural society, and each step in the process means something to them, that anything that you have to do to bake bread is a malacha, sidura depas, but really there's no such thing, it's just in a mnemonic, and that's Rashi says in bed, right? Ha'ofe lo hava mimishkan. This didn't happen in the Mishkan. Lo shayach ela bepas. All this is about bread. Upas lo shayach ela b'lechaz ha'mishkan. There was no bread in the building of the Mishkan. Everything here is really about the dyes. But our Tana just organizes it around Afia, right? Presumably as a mnemonic. However, the other position that we saw was Rav Haigon. I just gave you the tshuva in Gimel. It's in the Yotzer Hagaonim. Rav Haigon says, no, the reason that we teach the malachot as if they're sidur depas is because they are sidur depas, because we derive the malachot not just from the building of the Mishkan, but from the processes in the Mishkan, and since the lechem hapanim is part of the Mishkan, so therefore Sidur Depas is actually part of Malachat HaMishkan for the purpose of deriving Malachot Shabbos, and that's in Gimel. Rav Haigon, Vishalta, Ma'avas, Malachot, Gamrin, Ma'as HaMishkan, Ve'amar, Heimzar, Vatam, Lotizru, Zriya, Ketira, Heyach, Havyan, Mishkan. Right, when were there planting and reaping in the Mishkan? Shuvah, Halo Yesh, Bekarban, Tabit, Kal Yom, Asir, Saifa, Solas, Bekarban, Aron, Chavitin, Kal Yom, Miluim, Salam, Matzos, V'chol, Eis, V'chol, Eile, right? All these different things that you have, whether it be the bread or the minchas, you need flour, you need bread, you need matzahs. Okay, so in order to make those, you go through Sidur Depas, and that's why their Sidur Depas is exactly what it sounds like. Okay.
Why is Lush not mentioned in the 10?
Oh, you mean not in his list?
Yeah.
I think it's a mistake.
I think it just, sorry, it's just 11. It's just a mistake. It just, it, you're right. The one of them is there that wasn't like a concept. This is how, you know, this is like how bad do you get Mirage at the Rishon. It was like, why didn't he say lush? Did he think it was non-bread? No, I did. I just, when I was writing it, I just missed it as I was typing it. I didn't check too carefully. But yes, the list there is lush. There's 11, not 10. Sorry. That solved that very lumdish problem on it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Not you can't not be medayik in my words. There are people in the world who are that careful. I am obviously not one of them. Okay. Fine. Admittedly, right. And I just gave you from Yudish even four. Rashi, right, is a very good read of the Gemara, right? Rav Chaya is a bit harder because the Gemara really said, right? Shavak tani didan bishal saman dehavi b'mishkan vin nakat ofe, which sounds very much but he notes how would Rav Chaya get out of this? So he notes that you could just say that no, Rav Chaya thinks you can learn the malachot from the baking as well, but bishal saman happened first. And the order actually follows Bishal Samamanim and not Sidur Depas, and that's not necessarily in the same order, right? Even if you have to use all these malachot, right? It's not the exact same order in producing bread as it is producing dyes, and therefore the Gemara is asking not necessarily why did we choose Bishal at all, but why did we go in the order as if you're baking bread rather than follow the order of Bishal Samamanim, and that's what the Gemara is saying. It's not rejecting the possibility that we derive from the Malachot HaMishkan. He has a whole other theory there, you can see there. That's just a brief overview. Okay, fine.
Is there any practical difference between Rav Haizan and Rashi?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, the Acharonim Judah are trying to find like at the margins maybe, but probably not. But that's just a quick overview, like introduction to it. And again, Adam had already mentioned it, but just sort of applying it to our scenario. So what we're going to try to do is focus on two malachot, Zareya and Chorish. And like I said, it's an outline, so I'm not necessarily going to read inside, but I've given you headings so you know, right, what's happening here. Okay, so Zareya is the first or second of the malachot, right? The Mishnah notes Zareya first. The Gemara itself asks, why is Zareya first? Don't you have to plow before you plant? Shouldn't Chorish go before Zareya? And when we get to Chorish, we'll see how the Gemara deals with that problem. But we'll focus on Zareya, which is the first one on the list. So what is the nature of the Malacha? So simply, right, Zareya is planting. The Gemara in 3 Aleph here says, Tana HaZareya VaZomer VaNoteh VaMavrich VaMarkiv Kulon Malacha Achas. And it's not just planting itself, but it's planting and it's pruning and it's putting in saplings and it's grafting. All those are the same Malacha. They are all under Zareya. Now what exactly is there for the definition that includes all of these? So Rashi in Bet says as follows: "Dezomer nami letzimuche ilanahu." Right, Rashi is pretty clear. Right, the problem on this list is pruning. Pruning doesn't sound like it's about right planting in the classic sense. You're cutting things off, and Rashi says, "No, it's not true. Zareya is any time is anything that I use to help me plant something new, including." Pruning, v'nafka minit di'avad le'kulan b'hadi zareya l'mechayv el'chada. What's the nafka minit to all this? That if you do them all at once, you're only chayv for zareya. Zareya av melacha, v'notea nami av melacha hu, d'haino zareya. El'shezeb b'zra v'zeb b'ilono, v'chein mavrech u'markiv, aval zomer tolada. And Rashi says, okay, if I divide these lists, so the Gemara seems to say that all of these are part of the av of zareya, but he says it's not true. Zareya, which is planting seeds, is an av. Noteya, which is planting trees, is also an av because both of them are planting something new. It's just there are different words in the dictionary to describe planting for, at least in Hebrew, for planting seeds and planting trees and planting vegetables and planting fruit. But anytime you plant something new, that is the av. But zomer, pruning, which is something which improves and makes it better to plant. So that, he says, is a tolada. So you see from Rashi that what is the definition of the malacha? So he assumes the av is, right, planting something new. The tolada is anything which improves growth. That's the definition of the av. That's the vision of the tolada. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam seems to say that no, Zoreya isn't planting, and its tolodos are improving the plant. Both planting or improving are both part of the Av, because Zoreya is improving growth, not just, right, not just planting something new. And that's what the Rambam says in number in Gimel here. V'chein echad azoreya zraimon otei ilonos, o hamavrech ilonos, o hamarkiv, o hazomer. Right, he includes pruning, kol ilu av, echad hein me'avos melochad v'inyan echad. Who? They're all part of the Av. Shekol achas mehen litzmach davar litamech davar umitkavein, because all of them are meant to plant something, to improve something's growth. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's the planting itself, it's the pruning. They are both part of the Av. The Gemara in Dalet in Moed Katan expands on what is included in it. And the Gemara says as follows: Itmar haminakesh v'hamashke mayim lizroim b'shavas, weeding and watering on Shabbos, Mishum Mayim Asrinin Bey, why is it Asr? Meaning, what do you give Hasra'a for? Rabba Amar Mishum Choresh, Rabbi Yosef Amar Mishum Zoreya. So Rabba says that watering and weeding are Choresh. Rabbi Yosef said it is Zoreya, it is planting. Amar Rabba, Kavasi Didi Mistavra. Rabba says it makes sense like me, because Madarko Shel Choresh Lirapuye Ara Hainami Mirapuye Ara. Plowing softens the ground, and so does weeding, and so does watering. Hopefully we'll get back to the Choresh. We may not, but I hope we do. Amar Rav Yosef, Kavasa Didi Mistabra. Rav Yosef said, no, it's like me. Because Ma Darko Shel Zoreya Litzamuche Peira, Hachanami Matzmach Peira. The point of Zoreya is to make things grow. This makes things grow. So Amar Le'abai L'Rabba L'Didach Kashel Rav Yosef Kashel. Dach Kashel Mishum Choresh In Mishum Zoreya Lo. Rav Yosef Kashel Mishum Zoreya In Mishum Choresh Lo. So Abai says, I don't understand it. Each of these things both softens and makes things grow, isn't it? Both. Maybe you'll say whenever there are two malachos, you still are only liable for one. That's not true. Sometimes you really are chayv twice. The Gemara says kasha. Okay, fine. But for our purposes, what is clear in the Gemara is that either as an av or as a talada, right? That's a bit of an academic discussion. But at the end of the day, anything you do, if it improves the growth of a plant, it is either an av or a tolada. Trying to figure it out has some halachic nafkaminas. So it is important to sort of be aware of those two levels. But lemaisa, anytime you do something which either plants something new or improves it, it is going to be usher under one of the avos or toladas of Zoreya. That's point one to make. Okay. When does one violate Zoreya? So, if anyone has ever planted, even if you're a really good gardener, you know, right? Even if you're a good gardener and you're almost always successful when you plant something, which I'm not, but whatever. If you are, right, it doesn't happen immediately, right? It's not like you put in the seed and you turn around and lo and behold, you have a tomato, you know, bush, and you can make a salad from what, right? It doesn't quite work. What? Vine, thing, part of the problem, a thing, whatever. Yes. Look, I didn't say watermelon tree. Like, there's, you know, I've seen what a tomato grows on. I just don't know what you've heard of it as. Okay. My in-laws have it in their backyard. But Mayor picks them, not me. Okay. So the... So when do you violate, right? Do you violate as soon as you put the seed in the ground, or do you violate only after it takes root? But here's where, you know, Lam Dunim get fancy. But then you violate retroactively, because if you're not liable until it takes root, so you could plant on Shabbos, it's not going to take root till you know, Monday or Tuesday, you would never be liable. Everyone agrees that if you plant something, you are liable if it takes root. Why is this machlokas at all important? The machlokas is what happens, and we'll see this in a moment, if you threw down seeds on the ground, and can you, right, you put it in a hole in the ground, is there any reason for you to now pick them up on Shabbos and prevent it from taking root? And if you think Zoreya is violated immediately, then you shouldn't bother picking them up, and in fact you can't because it's mukta, right? If, what?
And kotzer.
And kotzer, right? And kotzer, maybe. But maybe not, because lav dafka, right? But if you think that, no, Zoreya is only violated once it takes root, and then once it takes root, that's the second. Right? If you think that you only violate once it takes root, and then you violate retroactively, so then there's a reason why you might want to
pick it up.
If you think you violate as soon as you put it in the ground, right, even if it hasn't taken root, then there's no reason to do that. So this is a machlokes. If you look, the Rashash is always, for some reason, quoted here. On this, he writes, many achronim write it though, he says, Mikom ba'akom kevin al yizraso ata yishrash achar kach, chayev kama ofev etzol, de chayev afal pi shenefem nitzla achar kach me'lav, v'neim lokar azera kodem shenishrash niret dipotter l'mafrei al mashazara kevin lo niskai ma'chshavto. The Rashash says, it is a retroactive malacha, you become liable once it takes root, and therefore, if you pick it up before it takes root, you will not violate Zoreya. So now, if you look at Bet, right? Now, many of the Chachamim argue on this, as we'll see, but just to see the halachic machlokas, which I just outlined. Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Yesh li zoram l'hashlach zoram b'makom yiridas gishamim. Right, planting, and this is important to know, is not just when I go out and I garden, right? If I'm outside and I'm eating a watermelon, right, which may be a problem in and of itself, which is something we'll come to, I can't then take the seeds and throw it on wet ground on Shabbos. It doesn't matter that I'm not there to plant. That is planting, right? And it may not succeed. It probably won't succeed. But that's not the point, right? You aren't allowed to do that. Shesofon latzmiach, because they'll grow. V'im yashlach l'an golem, and if you're throwing seeds, I don't know, corn seeds, whatever, corn kernels, meaning, to chickens, lo yashlech ela kishir shiochlu bo v'yom l'yomayim, only give them enough that they're going to eat in the next day or two. Because otherwise, it'll just sit around and maybe it will, right? It will grow. V'imu b'makom drisas ragle adam muter shen sova l'smach. If it's a place where people are always trampling, then it's fine because it'll never grow. It'll be killed by the constant trampling. Mishnah Berurah says, why are you allowed to throw it down if the chickens are going to eat it in 1 or 2 days? Is that dafka? He says, yes. T'bizman mu'ad kazeh lo yitzmechu. The plants won't grow in 1 or 2 days. For they won't take root. But if you inundate your chickens with corn, right, with corn, enough for 2 weeks, yeah, if it's there for 3 days, it may eventually take root. Right? And then you'll be liable retroactively from when it takes root. In Dalid, Shulchan Aruch says, "Asharachitim esar mechayoz me'mamayim." Not only do you violate for planting in the ground, but you also violate if you plant in water. So, if anyone's ever made like there's certain health seeds, right, like alfalfa, I think you can grow in a cup of water. Right, you just sit there and eventually sort of opens up. That's also asar. Hareza told us zareh v'chayev v'chol shehu. The Ramah says, "Umutur lahamid an feilonis b'mayim b'shabes v'achol you sham prachim v'shoshanim shein niftachim lachos amayim." We're going to come back to flowers in a little bit. Mishnah Berurah writes in, "Hey, toldo zareah demazareh mechavin lasmuche peira avsechein." The reason that you can't grow these alfalfa sprouts in your cup of water is because it's exactly like zareah. You are making something grow. The chaz of chayyadam. Duhu adin da shoret tvua lasses mehen l'sheich archayv. The duhu chavana so leatzmiach. The same thing is true if you do this with grains. The chosav odin. Then he writes the tekev mishenas on the mayim. Right, this is the other position that you violate as soon as you put it in water. Chayev afa gavdul yatzmiach lachar kama yamim. Even though you won't violate for it won't grow for a few days. The afa be right umisaim davo bichen mut delicious tvua vehemto. And he goes on right. With another issue, and explains why it's fine for giving food to your animals. The min chaschinuch follows the position of the chayadam. That's anachronistic, but has the same position in vav that afilu imzara adaita lagvia takef minakarka. Even if you throw down the seeds with the intent to pick it up immediately, will yitzmach klausa won't grow mikol makom maisa azria b'makom smicha asura hatorah. Where the isser isn't allowing it to grow, it's throwing it into somewhere where it could grow, and therefore you violate immediately. Even if you plan on picking it up. So as I mentioned, the nafka mina to this question is what happens if you did, right? You ate your watermelon outside, which you shouldn't have done, and now you see that your watermelon seed fell onto a wet, right, a muddy area that it's going to go straight into the ground, right? Is there any reason for you to pick it up, or should you nafka not pick it up because of muktzah? Yeah?
back to the chickens. You don't know which ones they're going to eat, right? Let's say you have enough for a few days, right? But you don't know which of the ones will be the ones that they eat or don't eat. Shouldn't that change the equation?
Probably not. The Shoel and the Rivash in Shuvah Shin Sadi Dalid said yes, that it matters, but the consensus of Poskim is like the Rivash in his discussion of combing hair, right? The Gemara says you aren't allowed to comb your hair on Shabbos because you know it's going to pull out a hair. The Shoel said to the Rivash, yeah, but you don't know which hair it's going to pull out, so none of them are psik resha. And the Rivash said, no, we look at the whole action together, so it doesn't matter. So that seems to be the consensus of Poskim, that we don't look at the specifics. The fact that you're throwing down enough corn that some of it might take root is a problem, even though you don't know which one. That's still called psik resha and usur. There are some who try to push for the position of the Shoel of the Rivash, but the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quote the position of the Rivash as normative. And this is why in Melacha Shabbos you need to know, like, learn all the Melachos, because right there is no explicit discussion of that in Zareya. It's in Gozes where that particular discussion of Psik Resha appears. But
with respect to the seeds falling, I mean, there's no Melacha Shabbos here or anything like that.
Yeah, but it's Psik Resha. That's the assumption, right? It's Psik Resha, so it's still Aser. And we're gonna get to even
that was Mishnah Berurah's point on the seed for the animals.
Right. I mean, he said, you know, it doesn't matter, it's not your kavana. You know it's going to happen. If it's not going to, right, to Malcolm Dries' Haregel, so it's fine. But okay, so what should you do, Lamaisa, if you drop your, you know, seeds or nuts or whatever on the ground? So there's a typo here, it's just kfar. But whatever, I gave you the summary from Ribiat, if you want to look at page 266 and 67, it's just my summary. The consensus of Poskim basically is that, look, according to half the Poskim, you violate even if you do pick them up. According to the Rashash, you don't violate as long as it doesn't take root. And therefore, they split the difference. If the seeds are mukta, then just leave them there, right? Because we're not going to allow you to violate in Isser Derabanan on the Chashash that, you know, you might, on the possibility that you could solve the Doraisa problem if it's not muksa. So, for example, it's sunflower seeds, right? Something which is edible in and of itself, and therefore it's not muksa. So then the poskim say you might as well pick it up, because at least according to half of the achronim, you won't violate the isser. That's basically how the poskim come out. I gave you the pages if you want to look at a little bit of a larger summary. Okay. Another halachal maisa issue, very halachal maisa, flowers, right? Flowers in your house. So basically what I'm doing from now on is just throwing out some halacha lemaisa issues that come up in Zareya, because I feel like most people don't, you know, when they think of the lemaisa malachos, they don't think of Zareya. So let me throw out some that come up all the time. So flowers in water. So this was what we'd seen in the Ramah. If you go back to Dalet, in, this was 3B Dalet. This may not be helpful. The outline model is helpful for me, but I probably should, whatever. I don't have to keep all the numbers within the outline, just continue. I probably can figure it out. Anyways, the Ramah says in 3b Dalet, good. He says, Umutter lahamid anfe ilanos b'mayim b'shabbos. You're allowed to put branches in water on Shabbos, meaning that are already cut. Ubulvach liushabem prachim v'shoshanim shem niftachim milachluches hamayim. As long as they don't have flowers that are going to open up more because you put them in water, right? So you all know, you can go buy, maybe not everyone knows, right? You can go buy flowers that are fully open before Shabbos, right? You put them in water, they're not opening anymore. They will start to wilt, but they're not opening anymore. Some people, dafka, like buying flowers that haven't yet opened up, and then you leave them, and over the next few days, they open up, and they last much longer. You can buy both types of flowers. The Ramah says that if you have something which is not going to open up anymore, so he uses branches, right? So let's take an easy case. Right? I don't know why you're putting branches there, but the most likely case is what comes up in Tuf Reish Nun Dalet, which is your lulav, right? That's the time we put branches in water. So then the Ramah says it's fine to put what?
Shavuot.
Right, in Israel they're very into branches. In America we do flowers, but in Israel they keep the original minhag, which is branches and greenery. So yes, right, you just take a branch, right, or whatever. You take a, you know, you want to decorate with a palm frond, for whatever reason. Fine, so the Ramah says, as long as no flowers are going to open up, it's permitted. If you're going to put flowers which are going to open up more when you put them in the vase, that is usur. There is a machlokas, mafarshim, whether that's d'oraisa or d'rabanan, right? Whether that's called zorea d'oraisa or not, because the flowers are already dead, right? Just know that it's a machlokes d'oraisa d'rabanan. Either way, it's usur, right? It is usur to do that. There's a bit of a discussion which I did not include here, but again, I didn't put all the sources. I'm going to just discuss some of them outside. The poskim have a discussion. What if you have flowers that have fully opened? Right, the Ramah gives you two extremes. Flowers that are going to open is usur because it's either zorea d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Branches which are not going to open at all, you could put in water as long as they were cut before Shabbos. What about flowers that are fully open? Right, are they mutter or are they usur? So the modern poskim sort of discuss that. Right, some say no, flowers are always usur. It's only branches that are mutter. Other poskim say no. The point is you can't put something in a vase if it's going to cause it to open a little bit more. If the flowers are fully open, so then you're allowed to put them in.
Why do you put them in water?
What?
Why do you put them
it
in
keeps
water?
Them fresh, right? But they're dead, so that's fine. Yeah.
Sometimes branches can reroot if you space them in water.
Yeah. Well, then it's del rice. Then it's problem del rice, right? He's very clear, right? These are things that are not going to grow more, right? That's the alfalfa seeds and all the anything like that. That's del rice. You can't do that. Like I said, besides for flowers, the big nafkamina of this is lulav, and this is where you get a little bit more of the qualifications of how you do this. So you look into Mtafresh Nandala, this is C. Aleph, mekabelas isha halulav miyad binao miyad bailo machzira limayim vetosav lov mayim im sarech. So Shulchan Aruch clarifies, and the Ramah right, references you here, this doesn't mean you can prepare a new vase on Shabbos. That doesn't work that way. You can only return things to water that was in a vase, and this is for mukta reasons, not for zareya reasons. This is mukta reasons. Tircha mukta related issues, right? The extent to which tircha and muktzah are related or not related, right? Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Depends on the type of tircha, depends on the type of muktzah. Not the point. We'll get to that, I hope, eventually. I can't say. The reason I want to do muktzah in kayetz is because I do not understand the implications of muktzah enough. But for tircha, I mean, for derabanan reasons, this is not a zareya issue. But when we're talking about putting things in water, we don't mean new water. That is asur. We mean that if, you know, your... I don't know, you have the vase on the table and you move it because you have guests and you know you can't see them because the vase is blocking you, and as you move the vase, some of the flowers fall out, right? So then can you put them back in that water, right? That's the shaila we're talking about. We're not saying you have a heter that, you know, you bring home flowers 5 minutes before Shabbos and you throw them on the table and say, I'll put them in a vase later. You can't do that, right? That's usur. What?
If the vase is water,
you're right. The vase is water, right? You could do it, right? Meaning you can't, like, you know, go find a vase. Oh, I don't know where the vase is, right?
If you prepare the for Shabbos.
Correct. You prepare the vase before and then put water. It in. Correct. That you could do. I will tolo tachach hamayim. You can't switch the water. Fine.
So, yantap and sukkas, then you can take your rabbis, if you have a vase already.
Right?
That's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. I think. Rotzel Shimu Vord. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
On Sukkot, on Yom Tov, then, you can take your avos if you've got a vase of water and put them in there. Because they're like branches.
Correct. If you had the water. Yeah, what was. Yes.
The verse says, Mvord Deino Mutter Shavis, Ki El Achzir Bamaim Shamdu Bokar.
But you think it's only.
Mikfar Bear of Shavis. What that means is they were already in the water before
Shavis.
That's
actually a machlokas about how to read that.
Right, meaning is it the water was there or the flowers?
Here from when I did this.
Oh, whether the water is there, the flowers are there.
The word "mikvar me'er Shabbos" clearly means they were in the water.
It was in that water.
And you,
right.
So what's first? You took it out of the water.
It fell out or came out,
and then
or
you took
it
out.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. So from the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds.
He talks about this also. The question whether it needs to have been in there. I think it's a lachatchila that the lulav should have been in that water before Yom Tov, but I think b'diavad you're fine.
Okay. Okay, that sounds.
In Sor.
What? If you add water, you can add water if you need to.
But
If you don't need to, why would you add what?
Right.
So the Shulchan Aruch says it's, you can even add water. You just can't switch the whole water. You can't like. Yeah.
Can you put it? Your water.
Okay, you're looking at it. Okay, so we'll just look at this point.
The Mishnah Berurah, if they were, if the water was already there. Yesha Achronim Shesodim.
Okay, but I heard three people talking at once. I can't do this, right? Is it okay? So Mishnah, we'll look at the Mishnah Berurah. Right, he says, yeah, the Mishnah Berurah does sound like it has to be that water that the flowers have to have already been in the water. Okay, so that's fine. He says, "Velo amru." Yes, okay. Velo amru ela lahosef ata mayim mishum tercha yisera. V'dad v'yesh ben prachem shenifdachem machmas hamayim aser lukulim aflach zer mayim shamdu me'mikfar. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah himself notes that it is a machlokes. I knew. Put it that but the you can. It's the Shar Tzion. It's not just the Shishos. I put it here. It's Gimel. I put it on the sheets. Prima Gadim Shulch. Yeah, I just remember what I put on it because I wrote this like 2 weeks ago. But he said Prima Gadim Shulchan Aruch Graz V'Efshar Yishlis Machalzeh Imshach Lamidim Vod Yom Kaven Sheim Ben Prachim Less V'Zech Shashta. Right. So Mishnah Berurah notes it is a Machlokas Achronim. Whether when we say you can put the flowers in the water, it means. Do the flowers have to have been in the water, or does the water have to have been in the vase? Right? The Mishnah Berurah thinks lechatchila you should only put it in flowers that were already in that water. B'dieved thinks you can put it in the vase as long as the water was there beforehand. Right? So lechatchila, don't do that. B'dieved, you can.
That sounds much more like a muktzah. So
it is. It's a tircha issue. It's a tircha issue. Not muktzah. It's tircha. Okay. This is a very simple point. Shulchan Aruch says. Putting a little bit of water on a vegetable to keep it moist is mutter. Right? That's not called planting. This should be obvious, right? This is Dalet Aleph here. Mutter lahashkas es atalosh, right? You can water something that's already been cut. Kedei shel yichmo, so it doesn't wilt. Where does this usually happen? So I gave you from the Chut Shani of Rurunis and Karelitz. He gives a practical case of this. He says Mishumachi, it's in the middle. Mishumachi mutter laniach b'shabes agvaniyah shadayin lo hevshilu legamrei kon yerugav ruila ochlal yidei atchak mekom achama almanaz she ta'adim. He said we do this all the time, right? V'odim b'avocado kashesh ruila achila b'shas atchak almanaz she yizracheich b'chama. Right? Tomatoes that aren't fully ripe or avocados for sure, right? Avocados you like wait 7 days, right? 3 weeks from when you bought them at the store, they're still not ripe. So you're like. God, I need it for lunch. You like try to figure out every way. You put it somewhere warm, whatever. You put it in a paper bag, whatever you do. So the Chut Shani said it's explicit. That's mutter, right? To push something along, you're not making it grow. You're just making it, you know, move along. He said that is
causing a chemical reaction.
Right, and he said that is permitted. Okay,
but only if it's going to be ready that day.
Yeah, it only has to be ready that day. Otherwise, it's a problem of achana after Shabbos. But yes. Okay, another discussion post, which I'm not reading everything inside, but I gave it to you because it's fascinating. Covering plants to protect them or opening windows to allow light in for plants, right? This happens right all the time, right? Sometimes bechavana, but sometimes not bechavana, right? You have plants all over your house to make it look nice, and you open the shades. Oi, right? My plants are now going to grow more. So can you cover them to protect them from snow? Can you open the shades or not? So the Shevet Alevi says, "Be'inyan lechasot tzmachim, with regard to covering plants, v'ilanot agdelim bekarg v'nei ashnagim shel yizoku, ra'iti b'tshuvas leiv chayim, lagon Rav Chaim Falaji, didon bazeh lahakel v'makom hefzed." Right, Ruchaim Falaji said it is fine. It's not called making something grow. You're just preventing it from being destroyed. But he himself writes, he said, what are you talking about? It says in the Yerushalmi, Perek Zayin Halacha Bet, Mona Bein Tolados De'oraisa De'zorea Ha'ose Batim Li'ilanos. One of the cases in the Yerushalmi is making a house for the plant, right, to protect it. Perek Shem Afar Shem Shem De'ose Batim L'Hatzal Zmacham Mechama O'Meiruchos Okshamim Mirubim.
That's actually a machlok. I'm not going to read it, though. He's cherry picking his mafarshim.
I know. But Chayotze, I'm just reading him. Let's do justice to the Vazner first. But he did say, Gorem hatavat smichasam venidan didan de elmale akiza in usadem vugorem smichasam aroi yesh bezechshash zarev en latiro gambev zagadal. So the Shevet Alevi says, what he understands in Yerushalmi, covering plants to protect them is asur midu araisa. Rav Chaim Falaji thinks it is mutter lichatchila because it's not called making something, it's not called planting, it's called protecting it, and he will read the Yerushalmi in a different way. And if I was giving Ian Shear on this, just on this topic, sure, we could go through what does the Yerushalmi mean. For our purposes, there is a machlokas achronim whether this is called zoreya. I think on this one, most poskim are machmir. Look at Shmir Shabbos. He writes, "Asur lifros yirias nylon or kol mechsa acher bal melts machim and gazur la siram vizos mishum shaosikem miskaven li tipuach hatz machim vareza asur mishum zoreya." Second question. Okay, what about, so that's covering. What about opening the shades, opening the door, and allows air in, right? Anything you do can affect it. Can I not now open the shades in my house on Shabbos? I can't open the door to let in fresh air. Right, I'm not doing it for my plants. I'm doing it. So the Shmir Shabbos writes, Mutter likanes lechamama, right? You can go into a greenhouse, that you can walk in. So he said it depends. If you want to go into a room, and that will mimela allow in air or sunlight, that's fine. But you can't go in with the intent of allowing in fresh air so that they will grow better. That, he thinks, is usur.
And the psik reisha idea?
What?
What about the psik reisha idea?
Right. So if you look at the footnotes here, right, he says in Lamed Bet, he says, V'mozikin l'mnoa rikuz yetzer shalchom mishtala mishum sheikh shashmachem shabai yiskalklu nir deshari b'tanai shiasner mechse lefnei zrichar. So, I mean, well, really the answer is that it's not immediate. Okay, I'll just throw it out. The Acharim say it's not immediate, right? So if you're not, it's a combination. It is psik reisha, but it's called a non-direct psik reisha or something like that, meaning you're not actually touching the guf hadavar, and therefore the post can say that if it's shelo b'chavana, and it's even if it's sort of psik reisha like, and you don't actually touch it, so then it is mutter. I'm not going to read everything inside here, but basically. So you have, in terms of how do we paskin on this, you have a range. The Har Tzvi is extremely makel on all these types of issues. Because he says this isn't planting, it's only mildly improving planting, and he thinks that's not Zareya, and therefore he thinks that none of these things are problematic. Most of the poskim are not quite that makil. They think that if you do it bechavana, that is going to be problematic, but they're willing to be makil, like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, if you're not doing it bechavana. I mean, he has others. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman himself is also willing to limit it, except Messias Monet. I put that in Lamed Bet here, right? Moshe can lemnoa rikuz yeser shalchom b'mishtala mishum sheich shad mechem shvay iskalklu nira deshari b'tanai sheyazer mechsel lifnei zrichar Hashemesh.
Even without that, I think the Har Tzvi's argument of Messias Monet is that the sunlight was coming anyway. There was something preventing it.
Correct. He has a lot of things, right? The Har Tzvi says, first of all, you're only improving it, and he thinks that's not called planting. Second thing he says is that it's only Hasarat Moneya because the sunlight is on its way anyways. All you're doing is opening the window, which I find very hard to believe in this case. Meaning, if you open it b'chavana, right, what do you mean it's Hasarat Moneya? You're allowing sunlight in. I don't know what he's talking about. That's why Rosh Hashanah Zalman is willing to accept it to the extent that I don't do it b'chavana, right? Do b'chavana, he's not willing to accept that, because what do you mean Hasarat Moneya? I'm opening the shades to allow sunlight onto it, and you're calling it Hasarat Moneya. It's very hard to believe. But the Acharon really go back and forth. And as I gave you a tshuva in Yichavadat, where Rabbi Vadia connects this question to a very complicated question, which I can't fully get into. But basically, there's a machlokas rishonim in the context of tzad. The Gemara says that you're allowed to close the door in your house if a deer happened to have run in, even though you are now trapping it. There's a machlokes rishonim, the Rajba, the Ran, the Shilti Giborim, whether that's true only if you didn't have intent to trap the deer. That's one possibility. Even if you had intent to trap the deer, since it's mutter because what you're doing is closing the door of your house because, you know, you're going out to shul. And then the middle position, which is it's mutter if it's your, even if you're happy about it at a secondary level, but it's not like at the front of your mind, essentially. It's not one of your real intents, but if it's one of your intents, even if it's your secondary intent, then it's also right. That's the three-way machlokas rishonim. Rav Ovadia suggests that this hangs on that question, right? Because let's say I don't care about my plants at all, right? So then, presumably, it is permitted, right? Well, no, right? If it's going to cause my plants to grow, so if you paskin luchom like the Ran, that if I'm doing a malacha, it's usur, so then I'm doing a malach, I'm still allowing to grow. And then you have to get to the question, okay, is allowing sunlight zareya or not? But what happens if I'm not doing it so that it'll grow, right? But it is in the back of my mind. So he says, well, that depends. You paskin like the Rashba, you paskin like Shilta Giborim. Again, that discussion is way too complicated for right now, but I gave it to you if you're interested in it. And so in the end, lahalacha, he says, it is he paskins it's mutter to open the tree sim to allow light in, but not if your full intent is for it to grow. And therefore, he says, in your house you can open it. He wouldn't do it in a greenhouse, right? Because in a greenhouse, your intent is primarily for the things to grow. In your house, it's primarily because you want light and you don't want to pay the electric bill to have, you know, the lights going. You'd rather natural light if you can get it. So even if it's in the back of your mind, he's willing to be makil like those shitot. Again, lahalacha, right? You have the machlokas across the board, right? Poskim who are like the Hartzvi really don't care at all and think it's mutter, even if that's, you know, basically your intent, because it's, you know, hasart moneya and it's whatever. It's not derech zriya and all bunch of different things. Poskim who say it's only mutter if it's not your primary, if it's not your intent, and then poskim who say it's mutter as long as it's not your primary intent, even if it's a secondary thing in your mind. These all tie into larger sugyas. I gave you some makaros that you can look up if you're more interested in, but we have to move on. Eating outside on Shabbos. So the Ramah, so the Shulchan Aruch says this is an F. You're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos because you're not intending to pull it up. But you're not allowed to go outside and wash your hands for bread, even though you don't mean to water the grass. Psik reishahu. But you can urinate on grass. That's mutter because it destroys the plants. There is a bit of a scientific problem here, but I don't want to get into it. The upshot of it is that urine can fertilize, but only in diluted form. So in the undiluted form, it actually does destroy it. And this is apparently very you know, in Toronto, this doesn't happen so often, right? But in the army, right, Thwaites was telling me, and you assume you can tell me, this sometimes does happen, right? It is mutter. La halacha, we paskin. This is mutter. End of parentheses. Shulchan Aruch, though, says, the point here is you can't water your hands on grass because it's a great show. It's going to water the grass. The Ramah adds, therefore, a chumrah and says, therefore, not only should you not wash outside, you should never eat outside on Shabbos, or at least drink. Because it's very hard to prevent the water from falling on the ground.
So a practical application, not with the eating, but got your pet dog, and you take him for a walk, should he only go on the concrete then?
So no, lahalacha, we would say it's not a problem. I mean, you probably shouldn't let him, you know, urinate on other people's property.
And there are other issues of walking in on Shabbos.
That's a discussion for another time. That's not...
You're walking away. You're not going back to that place.
Yeah.
Does that make any difference?
You know,
you're not going to have any benefit from that growth.
Right, so possibly... That usually only makes a difference in psikresha. This is not psikresha; it's direct, right? So therefore, it wouldn't necessarily make a difference. However, ostensibly, the Ramah's chumra is very difficult, right? Because for a few reasons. First of all, this is not psikresha; it's davreshen miskaven, right? So normally, davreshen miskaven is mutter. That's point one. Point two that the Acharim note is that even according to the Ramah, it should only be usur on your own property, but if it's on someone else's property, you can be mitzari for the fact, right, that a psik resha delonichale, is not as problematic. So the Ramah's chumra is a bit problematic. The Taz adds that maybe the Ramah's Chumrah is about something totally different. The Mishnah Berurah notes this here, that if it's too big of a Gina, it might be a Karmelis, and therefore there's carrying problems. But the Mishnah Berurah notes in Lamed that according to the Taz, therefore, if it's a problem of carrying, so it would be a problem even in someone else's property. But he seems to imply that if, according to Ramah, that's not true, because he says, Elufiza, filo beginat chavero yesh li zayir, which implies that according to the Ramah himself, the Mishnah Berurah assumes that on someone else's property, or let's say public property, you would be allowed to eat, right? It's only according to the Taz. So Lemaisa, right, that would say, like, having a Kiddush, let's say, in your property might be problematic. In a park, right? So according to the Taz, could be problematic. According to the Ramah, the way Mishnah Berurah understands him, in a public property, you could have a Kiddush outside, which is Lemaisa the Minog of many people. Or in Israel, it's very common. You have, like, Kiddushes outside. I remember one of the Ramim questioned this, but the truth is that according to the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the Ramah, it should be mutter to have a Kiddush in a public park, just not in your backyard. Right, or you can invite other people to your backyard, and you can't eat there. Right, that's the other option. I'm not posking on this, but I think that's what would be yotze from the Mishnah Berurah. According to Taz, it would be usser. The only thing I will note is that Ribiat notes he has three pages on this. He notes that in the end of the day, even whatever the Ramah said, it's only a chumrah. And therefore, even if you want to be machbid on the Ramah, which the poskim do encourage you to be machbid on the Ramah, on Sukkot, the minhag is lahakel, because many people build their sukkah in their backyard. According to the Ramah, that should be usur. But he says, okay, but it's sofo shel davar, it's a chumrah, right? And if it's coming at the expense of a mitzvah, then the poskim are makel, and therefore you don't have to say, oh, my only place I can build my sukkah is my backyard, I'm not allowed to have a sukkah on my property. No, if it's b'makom mitzvah, so then the poskim say, just be careful. Don't pour water on the ground, right? Try not to spill. If you want to be machmir, so the poskim say, we'll throw a tarp on the floor. If you throw a tarp on the floor, then it's for sure mutter, because then even if water rolls off, right, it's definitely not psik resha, and this is parallel to what Shulchan Aruch dealt with before of watering far away where it might roll onto the grass, which is much less problematic. Okay. Another issue, I'll say this outside just to cover it, is what if something is already watered? So the Ikar Halacha is that watering something which is saturated is, in fact, mutter. Right? Something which is totally saturated is mutter. If it's not saturated, then it's watering. When this comes up a lot is you have a tarp on your sukkah and it pours. Right? So you take off the tarp. The water falls on the grass. So the Halacha is that if it poured, it mamish poured, and you go out right after the storm, so then it's mutter to take off the tarp, even though the water is going to fall on the grass, because the grass is saturated, right? But if, let's say, it only drizzled, so there's a little bit of water, but the grass is basically, right, is not saturated, then you have to be very careful and not to let the water from the tarp to fall on the grass, because that would be zoreya. That's what the poskim say, lemaisa. Another very halach lemaisa issue that comes up is sprinklers, but sprinklers are primarily not a question of zoreya, actually. They're a question of maris ayin and avshei kala, right? Two derabanan issues, because most people aren't turning on their sprinkler. You can't turn on the sprinkler on Shabbos. That's pashut. The shayla most people ask is, can you put it on a timer, right? That's a question of maris ayin and avshei kala, which is a totally different discussion. I only noted that it exists, but we don't have time to see it. Okay, we have 10 minutes. I'm going to try to cover...
What if the sprinklers work in the middle of the night or something? Yeah. Like a lot of them do.
Again, like I said, it's a shayla of Zoreya Nafshei Kala. I don't want to get into it now because it's too much. About it. This one, you can go on Waitara. You can do sprinklers. The 50 shurim will appear by very quality people. If you're interested in sprinklers... Then v'idach zil gmor. I just wanted to note to you that this problem exists. Okay, we have 10 minutes. I'm going to try to get through as much of Choresh that I put here as possible. May not be possible, but that's okay. If I have to record 10 minutes afterwards, that's fine. But I'm impressed that I got this far in my makaras. I wasn't sure I would. Choresh. Okay, Choresh. So the Gemara asked the question: why does Choresh go second in the list? It should go first. Most normal people plow before they plant. They don't plant before they plow. So the Gemara tells you in Choresh Hazara about regarding Choresh Hazara about Choresh Michti Michram Karbi Bereisha Lisni Choresh Vahadar Lisni Zoreya. Right? Don't you first plow then plant? So say Choresh then Zoreya. So the Gemara says Tana Beretz Yisrael Kai Dizari Bereisha Vahadar Karbi. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not how they do it, right? They plow after they plant, right? They put the seeds down and they cover them. Okay. Hachoresh, Tana, Hachoresh, Vachofer, Vachoresh, Kulon, Malacha, Achaz, Hain. All Malachas, Choresh, right? Choresh, whether plowing, digging, whatever, right? All making ditches, making furrows, they're all one Malacha. Amrav Sheshes, Haizel, Gapshushes, Vinatla, Babayas, Chai Mishum Boneh, Besada, Chai Mishum Choresh. Now, one of the very related Malachas to Choresh is Boneh. Because let's say, because as Rosh Hashanah says, you pick up a clod of dirt. So if you do that in the field, that's you pick it up. That's called choresh. But in the house, that's called boneh because you're smoothing out the ground. You're smoothing out your floor. So many of the shailas in choresh are both choresh and boneh shailas, and this is especially true because in the time of Chazal they had dirt floors, right? So okay. Amarava, Haizeloguma, Vitamba, Babayas, Hav Mishum Bone, Besada Mishum Choresh, right? If you seal up these holes, so in the field, Choresh, in your house, Bone. Amarabi Abba, Chofer Gumum, Beshabas, Minotzarach, El Afra, if you dig a hole, but you only need the dirt, Paterala, it's only Asumi Dirabanan. And Vafilor, Behudam, Ramelacha, Chinz, Chalagufa, Chayevala, Hani Mili, Metakein, Hai Makalkalhu. And the Gemara says, not only according to Behuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, it says, Malcha Shein Tzrichel Gufa. It's Pater, it's even Rabbi Yehuda, because in this case, when you are making a hole, that is Makalkel, and therefore it will be only Aser Midir Abanan. Okay, so what is the nature of the Malacha of Choresh? So, you would think that Choresh is plowing for the sake of planting. The problem is, as we saw, the Gemara said that it could be plowing after planting. And you find out that that's also Choresh. So what does that tell us about the Malacha of Choresh? So I'm just going to skip to Dalet cut to the chase here. Rashi's position, therefore, becomes that Choresh, the definition of Malacha, is not plowing for planting. It is simply refuye ara. Malacha achasein eno chayvel achas dekul refuye ara avide. The nature of the malacha of Choresh is softening the ground. Now, where does he get this from? Well, first of all, from the problems that he just raised, but also from a Gemara Mefureshet in Hay, in Moed Katan, where, right, we had already seen this Gemara, right? Remember this Gemara of when you water and you weed, what are you chayev for? So if you just look at the last line there, the Gemara says, why ma darko shel choresh lirafui ara hainami merapui ara. The reason that watering sometimes violates Zoreya, but sometimes violates choresh, or does both, is because it softens the ground, and softening the ground is the malacha of choresh. So that's Rashi's position, that choresh is softening the ground. The Rambam, however, takes a different position, picking up on a cue from the Gemara in Vav here, and Kuf Gimel, the Gemara says, Achoresh kolshu, v'manakesh, v'makarsim, v'mezarei kolshu, chayev, right, if you plow even a slight bit, you're chayev, because it's enough to put a single seed in, and the Gemara said, im liyapos es akarka, if it's to make the field beautiful, so then kolshu, and the shear is minimal. Rabbi Chananel and the Rambam Zayin and Ches say Kol Shel Yapos HaKarka B'Sada Chay Mishum Choresh. Anytime you're beautifying your field, it is Choresh. The Rambam as well in Ches HaKoresh. Kol shu chayev hamenakish bikari lom makarse masavim mazard es asrigim kidel yapos es a karka reza toldos choresh. Again, they all think that it is about yipui ara. It's about making the land beautiful. So that is basically the two conceptions that you see in Rishonim and Achronim. Is choresh in the end of the day about softening the earth, or is it about beautifying the earth, right? Improving the earth. The Rambam's formulation seems to be have been influenced by the Yerushalmi, which I put in Yud, that l'chol davar shehu lahanayas karka, anything that is for the benefit of the ground, I mean, not limited to softening, but anything that improves the ground, chayav mishum choresh. What does this seem to hang on? So I gave you Rav Gigi's very brief description of it in Yud Aleph. V'isoda inen bechlaluto nira shavikuahu aim charisha hu pu'ula chaklait dafka. It seems to depend on whether you think that choresh is only agricultural. V'lachein anu zkukim l'richo chakarka shemachshor shelizriya. And therefore we focus on softening. Right? It's not only plowing in advance of planting, but it is only things that relate to agriculture. And therefore, that could be plowing before you plant. It could be covering plowing so you can cover the seed afterwards. But it's primarily agricultural. Oshema kol pula shenasis bakarka hi bechal harisha. Or once we have this malacha, it's any action that we do, right? It's improvement of the land, or it's treating the land through digging-like activities. Avo bi she'ein la toelet kol shil inyan avodah chaklait. Even if it doesn't have direct agricultural benefits. But Sarach Ina, I'm a Rishonim, Shed Gishu, and Anayas Akarka, Vipuya, I'm a Mikuchel, I'm a Rak, Bipana Esteti, Ushema Gamheim, Unyanim, Bipana Chakli. He said, this is not totally true. You have to wonder whether the Rambam will think it's only improvement of the land that relates in some way to agriculture, or would he even include aesthetic improvement of the ground, right? It's not totally clear. The Rambam says that it's Yipui, right? You could read that in different ways. One nafkamin of that question is going to be, are you only chayev for choresh in a place where you could theoretically plant? So if you look at the Orzarua in Yud Bet, he says as follows, choresh, come on, babon etan choresh kol shu, v'tamei ani mechaber, my bai b'Yerushalmi perakol, gadol demasek hasam kama yichrosh v'chayev, v'tani yomer k'dei lita krisher, v'achal bar rav k'dei lita zachrutza shalchita, klomar gargar echad, right? He said, the Yerushalmi says you're only chayev choresh if it's enough to plant something. My kami b'ayli amas nisen, perish abon achoresh kol shu, right? We say kol shu means kol shu. Why do you think it means a minimum shear? V'nira b'enai de kama b'ayli kama kol shu. They were asking how much is a kol shu. So first nafkamina is, right, if it really means kol shu, it sounds like it's about improving the land, right, stam, right? If you think that kol shu needs to be, like the Yerushalmi, at least enough to plant something, you're focusing on the agriculture. Then he continues, he says, skip to the end of the line, lo mechayim shum choresh el bakarka ru'uya lizria. But he thinks you're only chayv choresh if it's in a place where you could theoretically plant. And then after the ellipsis, v'tzumna bazriyahu, alma de kolhecha de karkalav bazriyahu, lo mechayev mishum choresh. If it's not a place where you could plant, you're not chayev. He takes the position that, right, it's connected to agriculture, and therefore it's only somewhere where agriculture is possible.
What do they all do with Rav Sheshes?
However, the, what?
What do they all do with Rav Sheshes? He says it's the bias, it's bona?
That's a discussion for Bona. Like I said, that the Choresh and Bona, in the house,
oh,
right,
okay,
is so Bona. It's a different, right, meaning that's a Bona discussion. We're going to do Bona. I just wanted to note the connection of Choresh and Bona, but we're going to have to wait till we actually get there.
People are saying it's not Choresh because it has to be agriculture.
We're going to have to come back to that when we get to Bona. I'm going to have to leave that for later. On the other hand, the Ran is explicit that it's not limited to agriculture, right? He says, sometimes people do it not for agricultural purposes. It's not clear that he would say it even if... Right? That's what he says. Vidlo Lizria. Right? Right. Now, it's not clear that he would say this is true even in a place where you couldn't do agriculture. That he doesn't say, but he clearly doesn't focus uniquely on it. Fine. The Now, the Mishnah Brura, we'll have to end with this, though the truth is, I got through most of it. I'll record a 10-minute summary, because after this is just the issues. The Mishnah Brura in his Hakdamah, Rishon Laman Zayin, writes, Choresh u'ach milamitas malachos, v'kim shkavanas ha-choresh l'arpuyi aria das tovla, z'riyeva gam kavanas l'ashvas gumos l'yaposo, t'ishan makom shafet, right? He brings both of them together. You're softening it, and you're improving it. V'lachein ha-chofer besadar sh'asa chritz, sh'asa sham tel katan, sh'pilu o'shay sham makom namoch v'ashve oso v'chein, kol ha-mashve gumos makom roi l'zriya chayv mishum. Choresh, v'ke, v'chein, kol masha osa liyapos ha-karka, told us choresh v'chayev b'cholshu, right? He seems to swallow both of them, and think you are chayev, for ripui and liyapos, but he paskins that it's only b'makom haro ilizriya, because he thinks that at the end of the day, whether you think it's l'rapuye aria, or it's liyaposo, it does have to have an agricultural element, at least, even if that's not your intent, right? He sort of splits the difference. It needs to be connected to agriculture, so it needs to be in a place where agriculture is possible, but we've expanded chofer beyond limited agriculture, therefore that doesn't have to be your actual intent, which is sort of splitting both of these sheet out. Okay, I'm going to record a 10 to 15 minute summary of the halacha lamaisa issues in Choresh, but the truth is you see that there's an outline. From here on in, it's just six nafkamin, as I think, six halachic applications that I gave to Choresh. But next week will be Yaakov on Borer. So I am not going to pick up next week. I will just record an addendum to this year.